Good evening and welcome to worship. Thank you for your choice to be here tonight. Your presence is a blessing. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father and Mother, Creator of the heavens and the earth, Giver of this and every moment, we thank you for calling us together to be the body of Christ, to listen to your word, to feed upon your wisdom, to be warmed by your love and the company of one another. Bless us tonight. Send us home changed and transformed. We ask this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Son, and Immanent Holy Spirit. Amen.
Staying in that place of rest and silence, we listen with the ear of the heart for God's word. A reading from the book of Samuel, chapter 17. David spoke to Saul, "Let your majesty not lose courage. I am at your service to go and fight this Philistine." But Saul answered David, "You cannot go up against this Philistine and fight with him, for you are only a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." David continued, "The Lord, who delivered me from the claws of the lion and the bear, will also keep me safe from the clutches of this Philistine." Saul answered David, "Go, the Lord will be with you." Then, staff in hand, David selected 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the pocket of his shepherd's bag. With his sling also ready to hand, he approached the Philistine. With his shield bearer marching before him, the Philistine also advanced closer and closer to David. When he had sized David up and seen that he was youthful and ruddy and handsome in appearance, the Philistine held David in contempt. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come against me with a staff?" Then the Philistine cursed David by his gods and said to him, "Come here to me, and I will leave your flesh for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David answered him, "You come against me with sword and spear and scimitar, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, that you have insulted. Today the Lord shall deliver you into my hand. I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will leave your corpse and the corpses of the Philistine army for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Thus the whole land shall learn that Israel has a God. All this multitude, too, shall learn that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he shall deliver you into our hands." The Philistine then moved to meet David at close quarters, while David ran quickly toward the battle line in the direction of the Philistine. David put his hand into the bag and took out a stone, hurled it with the sling, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone embedded itself in his brow, and he fell prostrate on the ground. Thus David overcame the Philistine with sling and stone. He struck the Philistine mortally, and did it without a sword. Then David ran and stood over him with the Philistine's own sword, which he drew from its sheath. He dispatched him and cut off his head. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The responsorial psalm is, Blessed be the Lord, my rock. Blessed be the Lord, my rock. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for battle, my fingers for war. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, my refuge and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield in whom I trust, who subdues my people under me. Blessed be the Lord, my rock. O God, I will sing a new song to you. With the 10-string lyre I will chant your praise. Who you give victory to kings, you who give victory to kings, and deliver David, your servant, from the evil sword. Blessed be the Lord, my rock. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there with a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, Come up here before us. Then he said to the Pharisees, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than do evil? To save life rather than to destroy it? But they remained silent, looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart. Jesus said to the man, Stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is a message that may feel more like meddling because it has to do with something that's very close and personal to all of us, and that is our bodies. Our bodies. Those of you who have been here for the last couple of weeks know that 2 weeks ago we started talking about the gospel lesson as an invitation for us to cultivate our spiritual capacities of perception. And the gospel lesson 2 weeks ago was about John the Baptist seeing, the perception of sight, spiritual sight, seeing the anointing of the Spirit upon Jesus when everyone else missed it. And last week we talked about the spiritual gift of listening, of hearing God's word, that Samuel heard God's word and struggled to understand what it was and sought counsel with Eli. And it took three successive levels of hearing in order for the understanding to begin to occur. So there we have sight, hearing, and tonight we have our body, our sensation. And the work of inner Christianity gives us a really interesting way of talking about the body. Instinctive, moving, sex center. All three of those centers are grouped together in that one long phrase, instinctive, moving, sex center. And today I think we'd understand that if you just use the phrase our body, that we're talking about our embodiedness, our physicality. And we all now know that our physicality isn't just like a machine that operates independently of our emotions and our thoughts, that it's all interconnected. So we want to reunite the body with the emotions and reunite the body with the mind. So here's the part where we try and connect it to the scriptures, because I'm sure that all of you have heard that slaying of David and Goliath story from childhood, and it could go all sorts of ways and all sorts of levels of interpretation. And so what I'd like to do is just invite you to ponder with me that the Philistine represents, on the one end of the scale, the inflation of our bodies. That the Philistine represents the crudeness of what a physical body can become. 9 foot tall, so they say, the Philistine was. Big, muscular, inflated with himself. It's a beautiful image of the body on steroids, the body gone wrong, the body as so to speak, all there is to life. And the hedonist comes to mind. The use of the body for one's own pleasure and power, taking what one wants because the body can do what it wants. And if you're 9 foot tall and very strong, well, you get away with a lot in this world. How many men have used their bodies and their power in abusive ways? Every single community I've ever served, it's like 7 out of 10 women who have been abused by a man and a man's power with this body. Something's fundamentally off with the culture of male dominance. Fundamentally off. We see that playing out in our culture today. There's so much confusion around our bodies, about one aspect of our bodies that is called our gender. So the Philistine nature, that represents the wildness of humankind. The Philistines were the group of people that the Israelites were coming into and wiping out. They were trying to eradicate that land, the promised land, of the Philistines. The Philistines represented that aspect of human nature that was unenlightened to the law of God that had come to Moses and to the people of Israel. And we could talk about the justice of that all day. I just want to highlight that the Philistine represents the body in its inflated state. And we all can picture that in our own lives. Get in touch with that moment when your body took control of you. When you ate that second helping of dessert. Your mind knew that later you'll suffer acid reflux, but the body doesn't care. And we could go on about simple examples like that. This is where I said the sermon would become less a message and feel more like meddling. Okay. Can you get in touch with your Philistine nature? Yes. Okay, so on the other side of the spectrum is the man with the withered hand. And this man represents, in contrast to inflation, the deflated nature of the human body. Woe is me. The weakness that is possible by neglect of the physical body. The, you might say, turning all of our lights on up here and letting the house go to rot. Not taking care of the foundation of the body, and it withers in its functionality, in its power, in its capacity. It's so easy to give in to the sedentary nature that our culture now allows us to experience. Sitting all day, watching all day, maybe walking the dog. If you have a cat, I don't know what you do. But you know what I'm saying. Can you get in touch with that aspect of your body that all it wants to do is wither, be pampered, have no confrontation to it so that it's called to attention and called to responsibility of what does it look to be like a balanced person? Surely there must be a balance in between Philistine and withered man. And this is the invitation that the work and so many of the spiritual traditions call us to. One little thing to insert here. It's interesting because we see the evolutionary dynamic embedded within the scriptures. And that evolutionary dynamic is embedded within human development in each of our lives. We all recapitulate the same development. We all start out with birth and we recapitulate until fullness of adulthood and then decline. Every single human being who develops fully recapitulates this journey. Humankind is in the process of this journey. And it's like this. We start out at the Philistine level. You kill things. There's violence to survive. You've got to eat. Survival of the fittest. It's primal. It's of the jungle. Okay, and it's very prevalent still in our genes, still in our body. That impulse, that animal reptilian brain is still there. And it's represented by the Philistine. But here we see in the scriptures a moment of spiritual evolution occurring. It was happening in other places around the world at the same time, in China, in India. We see it happening in the emergence of David. David represents something similar that was happening all around the world, and that was the awakening, moving up or graduating out of just that animal instinct, survival instinct, into the emotional dimension, the cultural dimension, the beginning of the nation of Israel's kingly experience. Now, how many of you know who was called in the Bible a man after God's own heart? Do you know who that was? David. And here David is, handsome and ruddy and of great appearance. He represents a new dimension of evolution called the emotional level that is emerging out of just the physical animal level, and he is the cultivation of that emotional state of connection and worship with God that all of us are called out of, that animal instinct to develop the emotional center to worship God. And it was David who penned so many of the Psalms, and David who represents this emotional development that stands above and beyond the culture that he came from. And if you remember also, David wanted to build a temple for the Lord, but he couldn't. And the judgment against David was, yes, you are a man after God's heart, but you are disqualified because you are also a man of violence. He was acquainted with violence too closely. He had not yet been, you might say, healed of that violence. And later in his life, in his career, that violence also manifested in the form of lust. If you remember the story of David and Bathsheba. He couldn't, in other words, control his emotional center, and as a result, it spilled over into his physical sex center. And he committed adultery. So it's a really interesting journey, looking at David, to see the dynamic of how the emotions and the body can sometimes not be connected. And all the while, David loved God, and yet this violence, he had killed, we didn't read it, but he had killed lions and bears, and that was his justification to Saul to say, send me to kill the Philistine. And then, of course, he courted the Philistine. Violence. Physical violence, emotional violence, embodied in these stories. So Jesus represents the integration of balanced being. Here he is embodied as the Word of God, consciousness embodied, beyond consciousness embodied, the divine nature embodied. And he embodies this with his physical touch, he embodies this with his emotional freedom, and he embodies this with the mind on fire. One other aspect to that Philistine story that teaches us that there's something more to transcend than just the body and the emotions. The Philistine represents the body level. David represents the emotional level, man after God's heart. But how does the Philistine get killed? With the stone to the third eye. And this third eye represents that seeing capacity that Jesus embodied in his own life of ministry, that he knew people without ever interacting with them. He saw with that spiritual sight. So you can see these indications, these parallels in the scriptures that really help us, encourage us to say, am I just a body person? Or am I just an emotion person? Or am I just an intellect person? Where can I develop? Where is the violence still hiding out in me? Where do I want a quarter a person, if I could? Where's the Philistine hiding out in me? Where can I cultivate my emotional evolution and development? Where can I cultivate my body? Where is it going weak? Where am I ignoring my foundation? The spectrum is there, cultivating our spiritual capacity related to our physicality. Let's avoid the extreme of hedonism on the one hand. Let's avoid the extreme of just forgetting about the body and withering away on the other hand. And let us be balanced people who follow in the template of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this fullness of being fully human and fully divine is what each of us is called to on the evolutionary spectrum that is still in process at this moment and that we are participants of. So I trust it hasn't been too much of a meddling experience, but that we have these bodies until they go. Care for them, use them wisely, seek the healing that is necessary, but do not get lost in tending to it. Do not be disconnected from it, and yet do not be overly concerned about it. Jesus teaches us, look at the lilies of the field. They do not toil or sweat, but in all their beauty they simply are living toward God. I think it's an invitation for all of us to keep in mind as we struggle with being spiritual beings having a body experience. Amen. The crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus, in one sense, was the end of violence. He absorbed violence completely, forgave it, and offered his life up to God. And then that death was transformed in the resurrection. And so we see the ultimate fulfillment of these bodies moving toward that omega point of resurrection. We don't know when that will happen. Bernadette teaches us it happens at death. We don't wait for that resurrected body, and I like that very much. The love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the peace and presence of the Holy Spirit be with you in your embodied journey into balanced man and woman. Amen.